raise your hands if you ever felt like a failure. I'm pretty sure that every one of us would raise our hands. Maybe you're wrestling with that emotion right now. See, when what happens in our past is in our past, but if we're not careful, it'll actually inform and can wreck our present. Isn't that right? For that very reason, I ought to be very scared of Father's Day. And here's why. I call it my crappy Father's Day. That's a little hint, okay? This was some years ago, about 10 years ago. By the way, I got permission to tell this story. 10 years ago, I was on a church staff, and this is back when we only had two kids and they were little, and so we went to church, did our church thing, came home, and this is back when we actually got to take naps on Sunday afternoons. It was like our favorite time of the week, am I right? And we'd put, Addie was like two and Dane was just over one, and we put them down and we'd go to sleep and the baby monitor's there and we're just racked out. And then in my dream, I start hearing, uh-oh, poo-poo. Uh-oh, poo-poo. And about five or six times at the same time, Gabriel and I sit straight up and looked at each other and went, uh-oh, poo-poo. And we ran into Dane's room and he had uh-oh, poo-pooed all right. He had dug down into his uh-oh, poo-poo and got it on his crib and got it on his wall and got it on him. Oh, that was a crappy Father's Day. So I grabbed Dane, I said, you do the room, I got him, and I stuck him in the tub. And on the way there, I'm like, Dane, that's naughty, that's so naughty, I can't, no, naughty, naughty. And I sent him in the tub, he goes, I naughty. So I don't know what he's got in store for me today, I'm a little nervous. I mean, I'm kidding and I'm joking, but honestly, I mean, really, our past failures can so cripple us from becoming all that God created us to be. And it's honestly, it's easy to feel like a failure, isn't it? There's always somebody doing whatever you do better than you do. And with the media that we have today, there's always somebody promoted and better at this and more informed at that. Maybe it's your life circumstances and you don't get to, for your fathers, you don't get to see your kids as much as you want. Maybe work does that or you're overseas in the military. Maybe a divorce has caused you to have a different relationship with your kids. It's very easy to feel like a failure. And I think it's really important to talk about this subject on Father's Day. Because whether you realize it or not, most fathers in this room and most fathers I know would say, man, I really feel like I'm blowing it as a dad. I mean, whether that's real or whether that's perceived, I mean, we just feel like we're just trying to wade our way through blindly how to be a dad. And we oftentimes feel like a failure. I can tell you, I've failed a bunch. I mean, I have failed a bunch. Lost my cool, acted the fool a bunch. One of my more recent failures hit me earlier this year. We had said back in November, God gave us a vision for our church to reach 1,000 followers in 5 years. That's a pretty big vision, isn't it? And so we got excited about that. I hope you're still excited about that. And we're making plans to achieve those goals. And so we started laying out plans and getting staff in place and reorganizing. We're doing all these things to have this great plan to be useful to God, to see Him reach 1,000 followers in this community in 5 years. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm glad you're excited, Sandy. I am too. But then it hit me. We have all this plan and vision and strategy for the church, but I didn't have any of that as a dad. I mean, I had the best intention as a father to be, I could, before they could talk, I was like, I'm going to have all these amazing talks with my kids. And I'm going to make sure I tell them about this. And I'm going to be sure I walk them through these principles. And I can't wait to teach them these things. And I can't wait to make sure when they leave my house, 18 years old, man, they're going to be kids that are ready to face the world because they love Jesus. They're grounded in Him. They have a faith that's real. Yet I had no plan. I had the best intentions, but no plan. And what was really crazy is when I said, you know, 1,000 followers in 5 years, when God gave us that, it dawned on me, 2020, it was when my little Addie, I used to hold her like this. She's going to graduate that year. and my best years to influence her will be over. And I've got 5 years left to pour into her the best that I know how, and to equip her and to teach her and to mold her and to love her and encourage her to be all that God created her to be. I've only got 5 years left for my little Addie. So I had to ask God to forgive me. I had to ask my kids to forgive me. And I had to come up with a plan. So I made a plan. Of course, if I have a plan, I have a spreadsheet. So I had a spreadsheet. And I began to walk my kids through. We were always read the Bible together, but we didn't have a plan. Now we have a plan. I've got certain things there before they leave my house. I want to make sure that they know certain things. And we began to work that plan. Listen, when we talk about being a failure, I think of all the judges. It's really appropriate we're talking about Samson today. Because if any one of those judges felt like a failure, I'm sure Samson did. We talked about last week how he was screwing up his life. And he screwed it up with a bunch of ladies. Well, this week it's the same story, guys. He finds another non-Jewish woman to get tangled up with. And her name is pretty famous. Her name is Delilah. And he marries this girl. And he's not supposed to marry her. In fact, she's a Philistine, the very kind of people God had sent him to deliver the Israelites from. He's married to one of them now. And he doesn't know it, but she's plotting his demise behind his back. And she keeps asking him, hey, tell us the secret of your strength. In fact, three separate scenarios, she asked him, Samson, tell me the secret of your strength so she could go tell her buddies and they could capture him and he could be done away with. And three times he messes with her. I do like that about Samson. Oh, if you use this certain kind of rope, that'll buy me I'll be powerless then. And she does it, and he snaps the ropes, and he beats the attackers. Three separate times. That's when we pick up our story. It says, then she said to him, this is Judges chapter 16, starting verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? Can I get a witness, guys? You ever heard that one? This is the third time that you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. And by the way, never don't mind the fact that I keep sending guys to attack you when you do. Forget about that part. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. First recorded incident of being nagged to death right here. It is in the Bible. It's legit. He just got tired of it. So he told her everything. We all have a breaking point, right? He tells her, no razor has ever been used on my head. He said, because I've been a Nazirite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. Jeff talked about that 2 weeks ago. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. He spills the beans. Predictably, she rats him out. She shaves off his hair. He loses his strength. And they capture Samson. And then it says this. Go down a few verses to verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. That, my friends, is the picture, the ultimate picture of failure. Here is Samson, God's chosen deliverer, and he is bound, he is blind, he is chained, and the very people he was set to destroy for the glory of God, he is now grinding their grain as a slave. I am sure Samson in this moment felt like the most utter failure that had ever walked the earth. And it could have been very easy for him to slip into depression and despair. To just give up on himself and give up on his God and give up on his purpose. Guys, all around this room, many of us are struggling with those same emotions. We feel like a major disappointment, perhaps to ourselves, perhaps to our parents or our kids, perhaps to a boss. Perhaps even to God, we feel like we have just let those people down. We left God down. We let ourselves down. Specifically to our fathers, we may feel like a failure if we don't provide for our family or protect our family. Or like I was lamenting, preparing our kids for the future. See, those are our God-given roles as fathers, is to do all three of those. What is crazy is I heard on the radio this week, they were doing little interviews with rock stars. I don't even know what radio station it was. And they're interviewing Eddie Van Halen, father of the year, I'm sure. And they're interviewing him and his son, who they play music together now. And he's saying, I'm so proud of my son. I'm like, okay, he says, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs. Man, I'm so proud of this kid, how he's turning out. And his son goes, yeah, Dad, you don't either anymore do those things. But even Eddie Van Halen understands there's a weight of responsibility that he wants his kids to turn out morally good and right and productive to society. And yet I know too many fathers that don't spend enough time with their kids, spend enough time with their families. Maybe even the attitude is a little bit audacious. I work 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. Hey, I pay the bills. I mow the grass. That is my part in this. That's what I'm supposed to do. Yet the role of the father is so much more than that. Yes, we are to be provider. We are also to be protector, and we are called to be a preparer. You know, you can't do two of those three if you're not around. You just can't do it. That's why he doesn't know I'm talking about him today. There's a father in the front row here, Todd. He works two jobs to provide for his family. His wife works too. He works two jobs. And he was telling me, you know, I work 4 hours early in the morning, and I go to my second job, and I get 8 hours in. I've worked 12 hours that day, and the people at my job, they harass me for leaving early. And he feels guilt and shame, and he has to push away that pressure. But he makes the conscious choice to come home and spend time with his family amidst that pressure. So I applaud fathers like that, who are doing all they can do to provide and protect and prepare. Those are the true heroes among us.
Amen.
That a girl. There's a proud wife right there. Guys, our families need us. They don't need a paycheck. They don't need a house. They don't need a car. They don't need Disney World as much as they need a dad who is present and alive and active among the family.
Amen.
That's just near. That has time. Listen, I didn't plan to get emotional this morning. They need our validation. They need our attention. They need to know that we're proud of them. They need to know that we believe in them. We are the ones that get to instill the confidence in them they lack, because they don't know if they can make it. They don't know if they're able. They don't know if they're up to the task ahead of them. And we get the awesome responsibility and privilege of breathing life and confidence and faith and joy and peace and humility and love into these little precious lives. Man, that's a high calling. Against that, it's easy to feel like a failure, isn't it? It really is. But here's what I want to tell you. This is what I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell every father and every person in this room this morning. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So you will be remembered as a parent and a father, not how you start, but how you finish. I can promise you that. It is true for Samson, and it'll be true for us. Let's get back to our story here. Samson is in chains. He's grinding grain at the mill, and now he's brought to a party. He's kind of like a party favor. And they set him up to mock him. And here's what it says in, I forget which verse, verse 27. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Oh, you thought it was bad at the grain mill. Now he's been brought to a party to be mocked and be like a circus monkey performing tricks for the Philistines. He's chained, he's blind, he's mocked, and he's ridiculed. And this is Samson's defining moment. Because this is the moment most of us give up. This is the moment most of us say we can't. This is the moment most of us figure, well, our past has set the die and we'll never get past our past. We'll never become, we'll never achieve, we'll never change. And yet this is the moment Samson refuses to quit. And he doesn't give up. I love this. And then it says, then Samson prayed to the Lord. I mean, Samson calls on God for help. Here's how you make a comeback. Here's how you finish strong, even if you start slow. Here's how it happens. You call on the name of the Lord. When you find yourself weak and unable, you realize there's a God who is more than able. There's a God who's more than strong enough. There's a God that's more than sufficient. And you call on His name to strengthen you when you are weak. That's how you finish strong. Because you are never more strong than when you're calling on God. Do you realize that? You are never more strong when you're calling on His name. Because you're not relying on your strength anymore. You're not relying on your own abilities or your ability to make money or your ability to figure it out or your ability to control the situation. When you call on His name, there's a power that is not of this earth that is unleashed in your lives and the lives of those around you. And so Samson calls on the name of the Lord. And here's his prayer. He says, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord says, God, You're in control. Remember me. Hey, God, You remember me? I'm the one that's blown it. I'm the one You'd picked out. I'm the one that's supposed to be deliverer. You remember me? I am lowly, God. I am the bottom of the food chain. God, do You remember me? Please. God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Can I tell you something, guys? It is never too late for a comeback. It's never too late for... Samson was in the last moments of his life and it was not too late for a comeback for him. You may have blown it in your life and you may feel like a failure as a father. You may feel like a failure as a provider. You may feel like a failure in your past choices and your sin. Yet you might feel like a failure. Yet God, if God is in the equation, it is never too late for a comeback. Because no failure is final. No failure's fatal. As long as you're still breathing air, you have a chance for a comeback when God is in the equation. His pride is gone. And he humbly asks God for help one more time. And don't you know that's when God loves to step in. Here's what happens. It says, then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood. They didn't realize it, but his hair was starting to grow back. But can I tell you, it wasn't his hair that gave him strength. It was his calling on the God Almighty. And he put his hands between those two pillars, the scripture says. And he braced himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, God, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might. And down came the temples. The temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. And the purpose that God had for Samson's life, get this, he fulfilled it with his dying breath. That's a comeback, isn't it? That's quite a comeback. You might feel like, man, I am not where I'm supposed to be. I have not measured up. I'm not where God wants me. I don't know if I can get there with His help, calling on His name. Yes, you can. Samson called on the name of the Lord. Because it's not about how you start, is it? It's how you finish. Samson didn't start so good. His middle wasn't real good either. He didn't run a good last lap. Man, he kicked it into overdrive right at the end. You can be blinded, chained, mocked, enslaved, and you can still accomplish the purpose of God. You may not have started well, but you can finish well. You may have regrets as a father or a mother or a grandparent, but let me tell you something. It's not too late to get it right. God says, I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish strong. You may have started great, but if you don't finish strong, you'll be remembered by how you finished. Every single one of us, He wants us to finish strong. And if we're going to finish strong, then we have faith that's strong. That's all it takes. Trusting in a sovereign God to do what He can do, following His lead, obeying His wishes, letting Him speak and inform into our lives. You think Samson might have felt ashamed to call on God? He never called on God. You might be sitting there, well, it's kind of superficial to call on God now. No, it's not. It's too late. He doesn't want to hear from me. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Because it's not how you start. It's how you finish. I don't know what your failures have been, but I know that you've got them. God knows every single one of them. And guess what? He went to a cross to pay for them because He loves you. No failure is fatal and final when God steps in and makes a way. Your finances can be jacked up. God can get you out of debt. You may have failed as a parent or a father, and it's not final. He can make you into the father He created you to be and that your kids need you to be. Can I just tell you, as a church, we can help you with that? I believe the church is where godly men and godly women are grown. This is where it happens. And your kids are not going to be the faith strong that you want them to be on accident. And I can even tell you this. We do amazing things with the kids and the students, but we get them an hour or two a week. Do you know what the best way to grow great kids is? To take them there yourself. But you can't take them where you've never been. And so you've got to call on the name of the Lord to grow you. Do you know at our church we have a 4-step process to help you grow? We want you to connect with Christ and His church. We want to see you growing in community with other believers. We want to teach you how to share all that God has given you to impact other people's lives. And we want you to multiply the life of Jesus Christ into other people's lives. We have a process set up for you to do that. And if you want to figure out how to do that, we are here to help. And if you want to multiply the life of Jesus into anybody's life, start with your family. Start there. You know how I know it's never too late to have a great finish? A sad thing happened. There's a few of you that know Quentin Mews, a 20-year-old, about that, 20-year-old who passed away 2 weeks ago, drowned in Lake Lanier. It's heartbreaking. I have some memories with Quentin. My dad and I both mentored some people. My dad mentored Quentin. We went and shot guns. We went and swam in the pool. He's a good kid. Fine young man. And so we were at his funeral this week, and it was hard. There's like 200 people in the room, and they're all 20-year-olds. And they got gauges in their ears and piercings and tattoos and funky hair, and I felt really not cool. Really not cool. I've never felt 43 like I felt there. And I'm not knocking what happened, but the pastor did an awesome job pointing people to Jesus for comfort. But he didn't tell them how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was sitting there begging. I actually tried to do that funeral because I knew it would be a good opportunity for the gospel. And I'm praying as this guy's preaching. I'm like, please, God, help them point these people to Jesus. They don't know. They don't understand. They need some real answers. And Jesus is the answer. And I'm praying. And he gets done and he sits down. And I was like, we missed it. God, what are you doing here? And then Quentin's sister comes up. I'm in the back row with my dad, and my dad, she starts talking to my dad, and my dad nods, and he looks at me, and I went, you're going up there, aren't you? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, snap. You got to understand something. 20 years ago, I asked my dad about his faith, and he said, I'm not comfortable talking with you about that. broke my heart. Since then, God's done some pretty cool stuff in my dad's life. And he goes up there, and he's not a preacher, but Tuesday, he was a preacher. And he told those kids, those young adults, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that there's a God who loves them, who died on the cross for them, and all their sin and all their failures were put on Christ so that they might have a freedom and a new life in Jesus Christ. And they could see Quentin again. Quentin had done this, and they could see Quentin again someday if they had faith in Jesus Christ. I said, amen. And he got done. And I said, Dad, I've been proud of you my whole life. But I've never been more proud than today. Because it's not how you start, Dad. It's how you finish. Can I tell you something, guys? God is begging you to finish strong. Are you determined to finish well? Are you determined to finish strong? Your job will forget you in a matter of months. Don't live for it. You've got a family that needs you, and your family will never forget you. Determine today that you're going to finish well at home. Make time for the people that matter most, the people that will be there when you are sick and broken and hurting. Make time for them. Forget about the past failures that you forget about those. Press on with new purpose. Call on the name of the Lord and ask God to become the dad or the mom or the grandparent that He wants you to be. Call on His name before you leave here today and say, God, make me into that. When we're talking about failure, you might just feel like you've let God down. Maybe you feel like Samson, that you just, I only call on God when I'm in trouble. And maybe because of that you think, well, God's angry with me, or He's disappointed with me, or He doesn't want to hear from you. Can I tell you, that is the furthest thing from the truth. The overwhelming emotion that God has for each one of us is an abundant, overwhelming love. That's what He feels for you. So when you call on His name, if you feel estranged from God, you can have a new start with Him today as well. You can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ that will never fade and never go away. It's not too late for that start today. You can say, I've blown it. I've messed up. My failures are great. That is why Jesus Christ came, because He knew every single one of us were going to blow it. We're all a lot like Samson. We all have failures. And Jesus took all of those, and He bore the weight and the penalty of those sins on a cross so that you and I, look like we just sang, can stand faultless before the throne of God. Faultless. Because all of our junk got put on a cross, and all of His righteousness is now given to us. That is the offer God has made for each one of us today. And if you're ready to make that choice, He's calling you to make that choice, then pray with me right now. Let's pray. God, every single one of us in this room, we have something in common. We've failed. And yet in Your great providence and mercy and goodness, You've made a way for us to not live in failure and not be defined by our failure, but we can have new life in Jesus Christ that is real and abundant, and it will not fade. It will not let us down. So God, for those that You're calling today to say yes to Your Son Jesus, to have that forgiveness and have that redemption in Jesus, simply have them call on You right now and say, God, I need You. Because I've blown it. And I believe Jesus died in my place to pay for my sin. And I put my faith, my trust in what He's done for me, that I might have a relationship with You and life everlasting. God, I thank You for who You've spoken to that way this morning. God, for all of us, especially the fathers, if we feel like we've failed in certain areas of our life, God, there's no way out other than admitting we've failed and calling on Your name. That is the first great step. So God, I pray all around this room this morning, if we just need to say, God, this is the area I'm failing in, and I ask for Your help. I call on Your name. I call on Your strength. Would You help me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.